kind of sets me in the mood. You know what I mean? Gets me ready, puts me in a zone. Got the Facebook pulled up too, man. Got social media going. So if you're on there, give me 10. All right. Oh, well, I'd love to wait on you, Maddie, because I got to have this guy, Maddie, on the podcast, man. Maddie Martin. He's a member of the Tribe of Change for you guys that are watching or listening. Let me bring you here. Steve, go ahead. Cut that live for me, baby. Yeah. Bring him in. Yeah, there they are. Hi, everybody. Sorry about that music again, if that bothers you, if I'm playing it too loud or something, or it sounds like shit on the mic, I'm sorry. But yeah, I was talking just a second ago, a guy, Matty Martin, look him up, man, and connect with him. Nowdy actually put me in touch with Matty via online. We talked a little bit on the side. Matty made a post, rebuttal to something that I had posted, which was deep, man. It was a great response. You know, I love those comments and responses sometimes that don't always agree, you know, with the post, that spark the thought, you know, or question whatever it is that I've posted or anyone else has posted. And Matty Martin is good for that, man. I mean, my boy, he dropped some deep stuff. There's a book out there, The Tyranny of Words. He happened to be commenting at a certain time on a post weeks ago. And Nowdy and I were actually talking on the phone at that very moment when Matty was posting that. And anyway, Nowdy said, look, man, he's bringing in knowledge from The Tyranny of Words from a book. I literally went online that night and had to order it. And let me tell you, there is a book worth reading. Tyranny of Words is that book. Read it. Just read it, and you may have to read it a few times. I mean, I find myself having to go back and read, you know, page one or, you know, the page I just read over again. And it's deep, man. It's deep. I mean, all relative to the idea of perception, right? We can go as far as we want to with the surface notions of psychology in the idea of perception control or interpretation of perception based on others' own perceptions. And when you start to mix all those into one, you can find yourself in a very, very perceptive place, or a place that you create on your own. But even that interpretation itself can be flawed. So there, I'm doing the book Tyranny of Words and Injustice. But buy that book, just buy that book, Tyranny of Words, and read through it. You know, Matty actually, he just hit me up, said, yeah, he'll be tuning in here in about a little less than 10 minutes now. But for everybody tuning in, man, hi, hope you're doing well. You know, I turn this on to take a few questions too. If anybody want to ask anything, also bringing people up to date too on a few things happening with the podcast. You see, I got the phone on me now, sitting here. Let me see. I'm in. There he is, Matty. Hey, man, welcome to it there, Matty. Just went off talking about the tyranny of words and how we were introduced not too long ago, brother. And you may be getting a lot of friend requests here lately, but definitely look up Matty Martin. He's a Functional Patterns family member. And let me tell you why I'm on the family of Functional Patterns, because that's exactly what the fuck it is. I mean, we use the word tribe for sure, and tribe just kind of insinuates family. But I can tell you, since I've been around just on the internet, if you will, around the FP group, and when I say FP, it's Functional Patterns. When I've been around that group and those people, it's a different breed of person, I'm telling you. The FP personnel, if you will, are a different breed. You can tell that that they're awake. You know, and I'm generalizing, I understand. But they get it. You know, they're tuned into that same vibe that the Cognitive Rampage represents and the Tribe of Change represents. People that are tuned in with Functional Patterns, we just seem to be on the same wavelength. Nowdy and I just hit it off. I mean, from day one, Nowdy and I, we talk what you guys see on the podcast once a week, but we talk beyond that as well. And, you know, him and I go off sometimes. And surprisingly, somebody goes off more than I do. The founder of the Cognitive Rampage, Nowdy, actually puts me to shame many times when we're just chatting about life, you know, all the different ideas of life. And, you know, Nowdy feels like a kindred spirit to me, like another brother to me. It's amazing how we even got connected and you know, he's brought that FP family to the Cognitive Rampage as the tribe of change, has very much embraced the functional patterns way of life. And we've kind of merged those two teams. And, you know, I think half the tribe of change is functional patterns now. And the other half is my rampagers, my warriors, as I call them, my warriors of the tribe of change, and that live that cognitive rampage. And FP, look, if you're living the FP lifestyle, for the most part, you are living your cognitive rampage. I mean, Naughty questions all the norms and has for a decade. And, you know, that's what it's about. You know, that's what living your rampage is all about. You know, I say on the website that I can't really define what cognitive rampage is to somebody. You know, for the most part, if you want to take it verbatim, you know, it's simply just a thinking rampage, right? Or to think, or a destruction of all thoughts that we believe to be our reality, and willing to face that. But yet we chase competence, we chase experience with an enthusiasm, with a passion, right? Like something we yearn for. It's almost like, you know, if somebody posts on something that I post, or somebody else, you know, that is disagreeing with it, for me, that is the growth, you know? So, you know, I love the idea of conflicting ideas, or pressing those, or questioning those, because that's how we grow, you know, is putting the pressure on our own beliefs and being okay with that. And that's what a lot of people can't face, right? I mean, from the fitness side, functional patterns covers that, right? It puts a lot of pressure on a lot of functional beliefs, you know, that people have been indoctrinated in. And the cognitive rampage has done the same thing on a mental aspect. You know, we question the norms, we question what is told to us as what we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to feel, etc. And, you know, going beyond those lines many times can be scary. You know, and questioning those ideas, right? They talk about ignorance is bliss. Maybe it is, or ignorance is just fucking ignorance. But I know a lot of people that choose to stay blinded to what's happening around them and their social world and their political world and their countries, etc. And we just keep the horse blinders on and we say, doesn't matter, right? Until it affects you. But there's a lot of you out there, you know, that live that rampage, man. And, you know, you push it day after day, hour after hour, despite, right? I think despite is a powerful word, because we face so much adversity. We face the change, right? I referred to on my interview with Stephen Kotler about some of us are the middle monkey, is what I like to say, right? Somewhere along the line from the beginning to the evolution of what we are now, there was that middle monkey, right? That missing link. Well, the monkey that we are now, and whatever it is we will evolve to be, I like to think sometimes that, you know, the cognitive rampage warriors are those that live that, and the functional patterns family, you know, we're that middle monkey, if you will. You know, Stephen Kotler found that kind of funny. And it's true, right? Somebody has to be the outlier, right? Somebody has to be the evolution. And somebody has to tilt that scale that way. And it's generally not the masses, because if the masses tilted that evolutionary scale, well, then you would see evolution at a much higher and faster pace, right? But yet it's those small percentages, it's those small few that slowly evolve to a place. And I know the political system currently, you know, a lot of countries currently can make it look bleak. Hell, just where I was sitting at tonight, where I was having a few oysters, hanging out, just observing the people around me, right? Sometimes I like to go to a place and just listen to those around me. The rhetoric that I heard coming around me in these Donald Trump supporters was, it was enraging almost, right? But the challenge was to just sit there and listen, and just listen to what people are saying. And I know it can seem bleak. I know it can seem like this generation isn't awake, or the next one, etc. But, you know, us middle monkeys, we are pushing that change. And when there's that much change in the genetic code, even if it's very small, just the middle monkey change can happen. And we can push that over the edge, as long as we don't quit, right? As long as we don't stop pushing or questioning what they tell us we're supposed to do. And it gets loose with that they term as well, too. You know, I don't want to go that far on the they spectrum, right? Because it starts to represent conspiratorial type theories, right? But yeah, man, I was going off for a minute there. But it's way all the way back to circle back, man. The love that I have felt from the FP family is amazing. It's been beautiful. It's something that's hard to find. you know, and the message that Naudi is putting out there, the message that you all are following, that you're supporting, I support that. I'm telling you, I've called the Cognitive Rampage the voice of the FP family many times. And I would continue to say that because, you know, what Naudi and you all are doing on the fitness side, or I mean, fitness is such a very small, and the biomechanics, even that is small because it begins with, you know, a mental or a philosophical approach. You know, it's much wider than that. So, I mean, I just feel it's on a parallel, you know, and I don't know. I hate to even say that the universe brought us together, et cetera, right? Because I don't want to give up my control to the external locus of control as though, you know, the internal locus of control that we control and shape what we do. And, but it just, I don't know. Some of it seems natural, you know, it just seems like it was supposed to happen, right? Like this, a unified notion. I'm sitting here on Facebook, so sorry. There's a few people posting a couple comments and stuff I want to carry. Yeah. The antidote to apathy. That's a hell of a talk you posted there, Maddie, man. That really is, dude. There's actually another book out. I won't say other than The Tyranny of Words because I recommend The Tyranny of Words right now. Hell, I'll recommend The Tyranny of Words over The Cognitive Rampage, okay? Because if you read The Tyranny of Words, you will better understand The Cognitive Rampage and even further, right? I ask you more questions. But The Antidote actually is a book that is out by a guy named Oliver Berkman. And he looks to, we may have him on the podcast in September. He's hitting a couple deadlines right now. But anyway, Oliver Berkman's book, The Antidote, is worth a read. He really gets in the face of the Tony Robbins. You all know that I have my issues with that guy and a couple others. But, you know, that book really questions a lot of these charlatans, right, about what they're saying and what it really means, et cetera. But The Antidote is a great book. But first and foremost, please, Maddie, you're right on point, brother. Order the book, find the book, The Tyranny of Words, all right? It's kind of a bitch to find, but find that book, order it, just read it. Just fucking read it, man. That it's, I'm doing it again. You know, Maddie brought that up, like I said, on a post a while ago, but Tyranny of Words for sure. Ashley Kramer, man, you've been around for a while too, brother. You've been sticking with the tribe. I think not too long after I got off of Rogan, after I appeared, I don't know, last year or sometime. Anyway, but you've been around, Ashley, for a minute, brother. Shout out to Australia and all my friends over there, as well as Tony. Love you, Jack the Bear. We chat, if anything, message every other day or so, but I love the fuck out of you, man. Love you cunts over in Australia. You guys are the only reason I get to ever use that word. So if my cursing offends you, change your perception. But Ashley, I want to address what you posted, man, which is how's the minimalist thing working out for you? I could not be happier with this minimalist lifestyle. I'm telling you, the studio for the most part is about the only thing, you know, that hasn't been minimalized, if you will. But everything else in my life is slowly dwindling down to more. You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and it was funny to listen to my friend. All of a sudden he goes, yeah, but that's my shit. That's my stuff. And I thought, you know, it's just, you're right. It's your shit. But the possessiveness, right? This, that's mine, right? Like this trophy is all like a monkey and it's bananas or something. You know, that automatic response that came out with, well, that's my culmination of shit. What do you mean? Get rid of it. You know, what about the memories, right? And I just thought, man, you know, I get that. You know, it's difficult. You know, but I like to say, man, if the memories, I mean, if you're experiencing something and you take away from the moment, right? If you knew you couldn't capture it, if you knew you couldn't take a picture of it, if you knew you just had to be in that experience, I swear to God, we're missing a lot. You know, we're so quick to want to snap it and chat it, right? That's kind of weird how that worked out. But we're quick to just take pictures, Instagram it, put it up, right? And just try to capture this moment. Technology is wonderful and given us the ability to do so. But I mean, I wonder if every time you visit that picture for the rest of your life, is that little bit of, I don't know, good feeling that you get. Does that add up over time of maybe just a moment you get to keep in your own head of going, I remember that time. You know, would you cherish that moment even more so if you knew you couldn't capture it? If you knew it was just you living in this experience, you know, in that second? I don't know. I know when I take my long kayak trips or something like that, when I disappear, for the most part, you guys won't see any pictures of it. You know, I don't document it. I may post the paddle out or something. But you know, when I'm back or when I'm out there, I don't post it. You know, I don't put that out there. I don't know. Those become my memories, right? They become like something I try not to ever forget. I wonder, man, but it's difficult. You know, there's so much out there about the minimalist lifestyle, Ashley, about what you're supposed to do. And, you know, the main thing about the minimalist thing is you have to remember what the minimalist lifestyle doesn't mean is to throw all your shit away and buy new shit. Okay. It's not about dumping all of your stuff and then going out and buying even, say, more quality things, right? That last longer. You don't need that yet, right? It's really about becoming a minimalist, is getting rid of the things that become unnecessary, right? Almost obsolete. Because if you look at the basics of what you need, you know, my friend that same day started going about, but my furniture, you don't need my furniture. I need my stuff. It's not about dumping the functional things that we need, right? But it's about just having those functional things. And it's definitely about quality, for sure. It's, I mean, when you have to purchase or repurchase, you got to think about quality, you know? I'll let you in on a little nerdy fucking thing that I did, is I did some research on shorts, right? And this is nerdy as shit, so don't judge me, but whatever. If you know, if you listen to my episode a while ago, I did about fast fashion, how it's actually killing kids in third world countries, etc. And, you know, it's invented to basically make you keep buying, right? You can reinvent your wardrobe every other week if you want to for fairly cheap. And anyway, there are about three types of shorts that you can buy if you are the shopper between, say, Ross, Target, Walmart, right in between there, whatever. And those three shorts, the first one are the cheapies, right, that you can buy that are called, what, Faded Glory, right? You can get the Faded Glory at Walmart for like $5, $6, something like that. And then you can step it up to, I think it's Mossimo or OP or some shit like that. And these are your $10 to $12 shorts, right? And then you can move up right after that to that $17.99 Dickie. Now, I went back and researched these shorts just to see. It took a while, too. It took me a couple weeks to gather kind of information about how long shorts last, how average, what the average was that people typically throw them out or become unsatisfied. And the $6 short was about a year. So you had a pair of shorts that you paid $6 for that within a year basically was tossed or donated, as they've sold you, as you think you're helping people. That's really just helping fast fashion, but just watch the documentary A True Cost, okay? I won't get into it. But about a year. And then the second pair of shorts is about a year and a half. So it doesn't even gain a whole second year. So you double the cost of your shorts. And on average, for the most part, it gains you about 6 extra months before people exchange them or replacing them, et cetera, throwing them out. Remember, it's an average. Some people keep them longer. Some people keep them shorter. Forget the pun. And then came the Dickie. And you're talking a $17 and change pair of shorts. What do you think the average was? 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. So I can spend an extra $5 to $6 and gain almost 4 years of wear on my shorts. And we all know Dickies, right? You can spill some shit right on them and they're fine, right? And, oh, here you go. Boom. Dickies. Right? So, have just the amount of pair of Dickie shorts that I need, just a pair of t-shirts. You know, my closet went from this thing I used to be so egotistically proud of was, you know, this walk-in closet with every color that could match with the seasons, etc., and the suits and the socks, right? It's tattooed, right? It's fucking terrible. Now, if I walked you into my closet, there's a thing hanging up. One thing. I have one hanger. It's just one suit coat that I kept just in case, you know, some appearance I do makes me wear a coat or some shit. But that's it. That's all that's hanging up. I have three pairs of shoes. That's it. Three pairs of shoes, one thing hanging up. And frankly, I'm right out of that movie, the Heat, the Al Pacino De Niro movie. I literally could pack just about everything I needed. I have this little get out bag packed out too, and fit it all in my car in 30 seconds or less when I feel the heat around the corner. Paranoid? No. It's just, I read a book a long, long time ago called The Millionaire Next Door. If you haven't read The Millionaire Next Door, I suggest giving that book to your kids. If you have a kid, hand them The Millionaire Next Door and let them read that. Anyway, part of that was talking about how much everything that we keep costs money, right? You have a bin of shit that you've been toting around with you for God knows how long. The bin has only gotten fucking bigger, or bins, plural. But if you store that bin over 10 years, how much more did that cost you in the size home that you had to rent or buy, the storage units you paid for, the size truck that you bought to move, right? These things cost money. And so when you add up the amount of stuff, the amount of bins, you either have to maintain it or replace it or take care of it or clean it or store it. These are five different ways that you spend money and time. And time is our most valuable resource, right? So when you look at how much stuff you own, the stuff ends up owning you. How much money do you waste over a decade, two decades, moving that stuff around, storing that stuff? So what? So you could pull it out one day and go, oh, I remember. I remember when. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm touching on some concrete beliefs. I get it. You got to save your shit. Look, I got like a few of my special things back here, right, that I've kept. You know, the thing from my grandma and my Native American flute that I try to play for my brother. But, you know, I keep it pretty small now. But, you know, Ashley, I love it. You know, there's a freedom that happens. It's fucking hard though. Don't get it twisted. I didn't do this shit like, all right, just throw my shit away. It was fucking hard. It took me almost a week, you know, but when I'm holding like a little league baseball thing that I, you know, some grand slam I hit or some shit, and I'm holding the baseball and I'm like, right. And I'm going, look at this shit like a fucking addict. Throw the baseball away, right? There, I had like three of those baseballs. Ended up throwing them away, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Look how much the stuff had a hold of me, right? Almost some idea of immortality, right? Of wanting to live forever, like you're going to pass this down or some shit. You know, it's been tough, man. You know, it was tough, you know, that first week, Ashley, of throwing stuff out. That meant a lot. You know, I had this bin of vinyl records. I was a DJ back in the day, back when you actually had to spin records, when you just couldn't, you know, hit sync and match the numbers and then call yourself a DJ, back when you actually had vinyl. And I had this bin of vinyl that I toted around with me for like a decade, man. I love that vinyl though. That collection was well put together. You could take that one bin and play a set anywhere, anytime, you know, A and B side all the way through. But I got rid of them. I sold those to a fellow DJ, Johnny Rotten, somebody I love very much. So I know they'll get good use. But for the most part, you know, selling that was gone. My football card collection, right? Football and baseball card collection. I had this shit since I was a jit, man. Saved all this stuff up. Poof. Poof. Just like that, you know? It's hard at first. But as you start to feel it, you as it's gone, right, and time goes by, you start to literally feel lighter, right? Like I'm not possessed by anything, you know? I mean, I look at it like this, you know, the Dunbar number, right? You're all familiar with the Dunbar number, that we can remember roughly 150 people. That's the Dunbar number. That's how many names and faces you can keep in your memory. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just people. What if it's stuff, right? Or thoughts or philosophies or anything that you want to, or memories, right? Experiences you want to keep. If I got my head filled up, you know, my People Anonymous posted, you know, the other day that what you're being filled up with, sports stats and a bunch of bullshit. Well, if I'm filled up with all that kind of stuff, you know, having to think about it, do I got to clean it? Do I got to take it out? Do I got to move it? Is it okay? I mean, that's a lot of shit taking up my mind space, man. And when that stuff is gone, it's so fucking liberating. There's like, even as you're almost, when you get comfortable dumping it out, it's weird. It's like a breakup. It feels fucking good. You know, you're just dumping shit out like, hell yeah, don't need that, won't need that, you know, and dumping that stuff out, man. there's a liberating feeling in that, because I mean, this society sells us on essentially what we're put here to do is to accumulate stuff. You know, George Carlin does a great stand up on stuff, you know, to take your stuff with you and buy more stuff and get more stuff. I mean, if the objective of my fucking life is to obtain stuff, well, then fuck me, man. That would be terrible. But we get caught up in it, right? It makes you feel good, right? You could be caught up in working this bullshit job that you don't want to do. But guess what? When that weekend comes, man, I can buy that thing. I can get that new blower. I can buy that new ladder, that new tool or some shit, that faster fucking car. Something, you know, that keeps you in the race. But look, I don't want to sound like that shit wasn't fucking hard, you know, dumping out some things that I like to think meant something to me. But, you know, if everything in the world is energy, you know, reduced down to its most basic, if everything is energy and everything that we have thus is energy, and if you find yourself being low on energy or low on passion or love or feeling good, I'd ask you to maybe question how much stuff you got laying around. Because that stuff can be absorbing your energy, absorbing your thoughts and your power, right? Because you're thinking about it. You know, maybe dumping all of that stuff, getting yourself set to where you can leave anywhere and be anywhere in 30 seconds when you feel the heat around the corner. I love that shit. Maybe you get some energy back. I know I did. I know going through that, just, I needed it, you know? I did. I needed to let go of the stuff, the accumulation, and the need to find more stuff, right? Because it doesn't end, man. Let me tell you, it doesn't end. You know, you get one thing, you need the next bigger house, or then you need, well, I'll be happy if I just get this, right? But then that this becomes old one day, right? And then, I don't know, you get it. I don't want to run down that same fucking path that all of you out there already understand what I'm going down, but you know, I suggest the minimalist lifestyle over and over again. You know, I would talk about it to the end. You know, I would suggest it for anybody to experience, to at least try, you know. I will tell you, though, that if you want to try the minimalist lifestyle, it's not like you can get your shit back, right? It's like a pawn shop, right? Once you toss those memorabilia of your immortal life, it's hard to get that back. But I figure, you know, I remember what I remember. And frankly, I'm not trying to be immortal. You know, what do you think? I don't know. Sometimes I like to say that, you know, us trying to keep stuff and pass down heirlooms is some way that we're still reaching for immortality, right? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, we try to like pass that along, but, you know, I don't really talk to my father, so there's nothing passed down that way. And I can't see, you know, I passed down an old record player to my daughter. You know, I guess you can really pass down your experiences, but I think those experiences should be passed down with words, right? Like stories, like you sit down and talk to your kids, you know, tell them your stories, and maybe they pass them along, maybe they don't. But I don't know, maybe having kids is also just another way that we try to be immortal, right? I mean, you take on the last name, you name them juniors and seniors, right? The thirds. I mean, is that a way that we try to sustain our name, to try to immortalize ourselves? I mean, ask yourself this. Who is the sixth president of the United States? All right. Well, you thought for a second. At one point, that was the most famous man in this country, and you don't know who that is. So what are you really going to do? You see? I mean, we all may set out to try to make our mark in some way or believe ourselves to be special in some way, I guess. But I mean, maybe we are. Fuck. I mean, it's subjective anyway, right? But, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, we're not going to leave a mark here. I mean, the world, time is not relevant to the existence of this planet. So the fact that we may pollute this world, we may pollute it for us to live here, sure. But I don't think the world's going to go anywhere. I mean, hit it with a comet. It's been hit before. Hit it with a meteor. I mean, hit it with a couple things, right? It doesn't matter. Pollute the shit out of it. I'm just saying we won't live here, but the fucking world will be here. You know what I mean? Time is irrelevant. So, I mean, it can fix itself over time. So, I mean, I mean, the arrogance of man sometimes, right? That's like, we will infect the earth. We will destroy her. We'll destroy her for our asses to live here. And mind you, I'm pulling directly from Carlin here. I'm a huge Carlin fan. Watch, I'll show you. What you guys know about that? What you know about that vinyl? Yeah, see? Minimalist lifestyle to a point. I got like four records back there that I kept. It was hard to let go of the George Carlin stand-up. I mean, the godfather of... I mean, he wasn't a fucking comic, man. The dude was a philosopher. Straight the fuck up. The dude was a philosopher. And, you know, today's... Yeah, see, kids? That's called a vinyl record. That's what that's called. Yeah, the original. But I even think today's, you know, comedians or comics, whatever the fuck, they're philosophers too. I mean, come on, you want to take it back? How far back you want to go? What you know about a Sugar Hill Gang? What you know? I mean, but they're, I mean, even comedians today, right? They're philosophers. I mean, they get to talk about the present state of society and, you know, the behaviors that we do, the social constructs that exist, the stereotypes that exist. And they get to talk about those, but they, you know, they're almost those guys on the corner talking about our generation, you know, talking about what we've done or what we're doing or where we're headed, et cetera. You know, so I mean, my hats off go to comedians, man, that really stand up and say what they believe. Yeah, I love Carlin too, brother. And as you can tell, and I mean, it's difficult, right? I mean, but somebody's got to say that shit. I mean, I don't know. I could tell you a few comedians that I love, but I like a lot of them. It's hard, man. Even in my downtime, right? I got my daily system down pretty good. I realized like when I'm, you know, have been in some sort of intense flow state. Jim Jeffries. No, he's fucking good, man. His stand-up's good as shit, too. That's a good post, Maddie Martin. Again, man. Ashley. I'm sorry. I'm going to make a left turn and read what you guys are posting. Yeah, we're spending $3.9 billion. Oh, that's a hell of a post there, man. Yeah, you guys look that up, man. Adam, I've been heading down the minimalist path for now nearly 2 years. Considering living out of a suitcase since July 4th. Trump, man, do it. Fucking Ashley, do it, motherfucker. Do it, you bad bitch. Come on, the best part of minimalist IMO. Yes, the freedom. Not being a part of the system, say I need to buy something. Yes, sir, a part of the crowd, sexy, whatever. Yes, used to work in advertising. You get it. Now he put it well. He said something about walking through a mall and knowing he doesn't need to buy a single thing in the whole place. That's legit, man. I mean, spending money on travel, my passions and health, when I buy stuff is what I need. Yeah, dude, Ashley, do it, my friend. Just go, dude. I'm so this close to buying like a Class C. It's a like a motorhome thing, and just going, dude. I'm this close. I'm not kidding. Like if I showed you my favorites on that I got saved on my searches, I have these ones saved. I mean, I'm seriously hunting that, dude. It's just hitting a literal podcast, if you will, right? And just driving and just going to interview the people that I want to interview, the people I want to talk to, driving there, going to the places I want to see, and just living that way. Because I'm telling you, it's fucking hard, though, dude. Like I was saying, to break that handcuff, because, I mean, that's what the social construct is built around, is consumption, right? Our entire social construct of whatever the fuck we live is built around being a consumer. Is give up 5 days out of your 7 days to pay into the system and consume during that week, right? And then on those 2 days a week, overly consume, overeat, overdrink, travel like crazy, buy a bunch of shit, go to a bunch of theme parks. I mean, for 2 days, blow all the fucking money you spent 5 days making, right? But remember to save a little, they tell you. I mean, it's built on consumption and it's really hard. It's hard to really question yourself and go, wait a minute, is this my idea? Why do I want to have shit? Why do I want to buy things? And I'll even go a step further. Is now marketing and advertising, they've gotten wise to some shit. They know that we're on to them. They get it. So what you're seeing now is you're seeing the sell of the experience. That's what they're selling now, is come have the experience, right? Because marketers and advertising, they're ahead of the curve, right? They understand, they see market trends and things changing. They're aware of the increase in the minimalist lifestyle spreading across the globe. They're aware of that because when you become more aware of what's happening to the globe, what's happening to the economy, what's happening in other countries due to consumption or overconsumption, you can't help but go, holy shit, right? And you back off of that. So they see that coming. So they've now sell the experience. And I'll give you one major business that has adapted to this quickly and done it very well. Universities, colleges, they are selling the experience like a motherfucker. Oh my God, because they're aware that it's the experience, right? Think of all the parents that pass it down. Oh, my college days. Oh, what an experience. Oh, I loved it, right? So they sell the experience to their own kids. Their kids then want to go to college for the experience, not the education anymore. So you see this increase of selling you the experience. Well, listen, you and I right now are having an experience and you're not paying a fucking thing for it. We're having an experience. You can make experiences, okay? You don't have to necessarily have money to have experiences. I mean, Into the Wild, one of my favorite movie. I mean, his life was an experience in that short little time when he traveled. I mean, but that was his experience, right? So, you know, Ashley, you talk about, you know, dumping it all and living out of a suitcase, brother. Go to it, man. My friend, Dr. Richard Feenstra, he was on the podcast. Him and I are working together doing some stuff. But I love this dude, man. This guy travels to destinations all over the globe, South America to the Philippines. I think he's going to go live in China now for a couple months. But he goes to where natural disasters, catastrophes have happened and they need help. And he goes there and helps. But what he does is he's an online teacher. He has about 20,000 students of his programs, Decision Skills. Look him up, Decision Skills on Udemy. And that's Udemy, something like that, or M-Y. Anyway, he has those students and he puts out lessons on making decisions and he travels the world doing so. And he goes all over the place, man, and is not tied down by the constructs that they build for you here, right? Which is buy the home, get married, have the kid, get the dog, everything that basically makes you have roots and have to have the job, right? And more people are questioning that these days. They really are. There's a great book out called Vagabonding that is worth a read, but don't read that book unless you're willing to probably uproot and change your whole fucking life. It's a powerful book, but Vagabonding is definitely also worth a read. That's, what was that, three fucking books we've covered now? My reading list is ridiculous right now. I don't think I'm probably ever going to read this shit. Some great books that have been recommended to me, some that I start. It's crazy. But that Vagabonding presents a different lifestyle, Ashley. It really should. You probably have read it already. If I know you, if you listen to The Rampage, you probably already know the book Vagabonding. But anyway, you know, for the younger generation, they're realizing these things. Even though the world's not quite the safest place to travel right now, there are some places that, you know, you can really go and experience. And, you know, when you pull the destination out of your life, right, when you pull away or you take out of this place that you're supposed to arrive, right? Retirement, right? Let's say when you take that out of the spectrum, when you take out of the equation that I have to have money put away, right? For I don't know, something. Look at life that way. Look at life not by as there's this destination, right? They've shaped the social structure and social construct and what most of us live in is this, we have to get to this destination and this destination and this destination. They've, you know, conveniently placed these markers that you're supposed to hit. And mind you, each marker in this American dream, if you will, comes with a lot of fucking debt. College, marriage, kids, house. Yeah, then it's all debt. You could probably say that a lot of the American markers are financial debt in its own interpretation. But when you can break away from that and you can look outside of there's this destination that I have to be or this place I have to be ready for, you can see life more for what it is. That the fact is, nobody has this shit figured the fuck out. Nobody knows what the fuck we're doing, what you're supposed to do, et cetera, right? So when you can pull the destinations away, Ashley, you can live more in that now, in that moment, without these I don't know, safety nets, right? These ideas of what we're supposed to do or what we're supposed to keep around us, etc. But the minimalist lifestyle is a step that way. You know, it was that way for me for most of my so-called professional career. But to toss that aside, you know, like I did a year ago on Rogan and say, fuck it, you know, this is the truth. They're fucking killing people, to just throw the degrees out, not do what I was supposed to do, which is, you know, get the job, you know, save up the 401k, diversify your investments. Holy fuck me. You know, it's scary, man. But I encourage everyone out there to at least attempt it, you know, to try that, to detach yourself from the stuff, you know, detach yourself from the social constructs of the markers that they set for you. They tell you if you achieve this, then you have made it or something, and then you have arrived. I guess I'm here to tell you that, you know, you probably know. We never arrive per se, right? You don't get to a place and say, well, there, I've made it. Look, I have the two cars in the driveway. I have the thing. I have this thing. You know, most of that arrived, if you notice, starts with I have or I have. I have accomplished. I have obtained. I have experienced. And maybe that next line that we have to see through as, you know, the tribe of change, as the FP family, as we're all waking up. I mean, I'm a firm believer in the experiences for sure, right? But to also maybe help people see through that they're beginning to sell that to you now. You know, they're beginning to sell, have the experience now, you know, come to college, go into debt, have the experience. Don't you want your car buying experience to be fun and fast? We sell houses to where buying your home becomes an experience. It's one you should love. I mean, these are all the fucking one-liners, right? The car buying, the home buying, the college debt paid for. I mean, it's all about come have this experience. But the experience comes with fucking debt and golden handcuffs, man. Golden chains, handcuffs that lock you, you know. I know a lot of very rich fucking friends, all right? I got a lot of friends that do fucking well. They make a lot of fucking money. But they never get to use all the toys that they can buy. You know, I watch them get more and more successful and more busy and lose more and more time and more shit. And then have a few more experiences to say, well, it's all worth it. What? It's crazy. It's like the more you work, the higher up you go, the richer you get, the more shit you buy, but the less time you have to enjoy the shit that you buy. You can afford a family. You can afford your kids. You can afford vacations, but you can't afford the time. It's funny how that shit balances the fuck out, don't you? I mean, look at somebody that some rich, successful person may look down upon is somebody that works, say, 40 hours a week with their hands doing labor and they work. But guess what? When they're off, they're fucking off, right? They're not thinking about next week's meeting, the email from Joanne over in fucking accounting, right? They're not marinating. I'm sorry if your name's Joanne. No, that's totally made up. But if, you know, they're not thinking about that. When they're off work, they're fucking off work. And they're living their fucking life, you know, whether it's tough. It would only be tough, I guess. I mean, I've lived it, but it becomes tough only when you have to match that you got to buy shit to be living your life, right? That you got to have experiences to be living your life. You know, I got to do this or I got to go to this place. It's like it's almost like they've provided this perfectly organized fucking checklist that you're supposed to get the fuck off, right? That, okay, I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to Europe. I have seen this, right? Check, fucking check. You know, microphone fucking check. They're so busy selling you that shit that I don't know, maybe we can start waking people up that, hey, be careful. They're also selling you the experience. They're selling you that you have to have the experience when life is the experience right fucking now. So Ashley, man, for that long roundabout, dude, fuck, live out a suitcase if you have to, but live out of a fucking duffel if it's easier, my brother. I mean, if you have that moment in time right now to where you can say, fuck it, I'm out. Shit, dude. Go. Fucking go, man. I mean, I urge anybody out there that's sitting there on the edge of going, well, I can't do it yet, you know, because my dental insurance will lapse if I go 6 months too early. My 401k won't cash totally in if I go. Well, you don't fucking want to go anyway. I mean, I get it. I get it, right? I get it. The constructs they sell you. I mean, I get it. I don't fucking live it at all. At fucking all. You know, no 401k here for this motherfucker. You know, just living now, right? Just being here now. But I get it, though. It's fucking tough, man. They indoctrinate you from day one. I mean, hell, just I remember when I was single and I was doing some online dating, right? For those of you who don't know, I met my wife on Match.com, actually, 5 years ago. I was when you own and manage and work in nightclubs, man, the last place you want to fucking meet a woman is there. I failed at that many times. But anyway, I got really good at reading these profiles, right? And you could almost pick out the kind of person just by reading the profile. And it would be funny. I remember the first thing that I picked up on pretty quick was a lot of times the first line you would see in somebody's profile that said, "I love to travel." Okay. Well, for one, I don't know who fucking doesn't. But two, you love to travel, and you would look, and maybe he or she would be like 20. 22 maybe. I had your blue collar job, so you know they didn't make a whole lot of money. But they wanted to travel, and you'd see the date range was about 30 fucking years, right? To where, you know, I'm 22 and I'm open to a 50-year-old. You would see that and say, "I love to travel." I got to put two and two together. I'd go, "Uh-huh. I wonder what you're looking for." But it was so amazing how every fucking profile somewhere in it said, "I love to travel." And for the most part, if you talk to people, they've been like four places. And you say, "You love to travel." Well, do you? I mean, who told you you love to travel? I mean, we're traveling every day. I mean, do we have to go to places? I promise you, McDonald's is probably fucking there, okay? So wherever you're fucking going, you're going to find that intersection with McDonald's, Burger King, Chili's, and Denny's. You know what I mean? You're going to find that fucking intersection somewhere of some kind, right? And I promise you, wherever the fuck you want to go, someone is trying to get the fuck out. I'm telling you, I've been to those places where I've been like, you know, I've showed up and talked to people locally and be like, "Oh, you're living the dream, man. Oh, isn't this great? Oh, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here." What? Are you kidding? This is the Zoomas. Why would you? Oh, man. You know, so I promise you, wherever the fuck you want to go, somebody wants to get the fuck out. And ask yourself, why do you want to travel those places, right? Is it just so you can Facebook it, Instagram it, say it, check it off, have your own bucket list done? You know, why do you want to do it really? You know, are there destinations, are there places you want to see? Are there certain places that you want to go for other reasons, you know? Hell, Chicago is down the street, right? That's traveling. The next city over from your house where you're at currently, right? That's traveling. That's now. I mean, that's an experience. Wherever your suitcase takes you, Ashley, bro, follow it, man. I mean, if you could do that, think about it. If you could take everything that you own with you in a suitcase and you were beholden to none, roots to nothing, and you were just able to move in this world and just live, right? And just be and follow that flow, you know? I think a lot of us set out to make a lot of money, right? We say that if we can make a lot of money, then we can be free of the constructs, right? And then I'll live like I want to live. I said that for a long time. If I just, then I'll, you know, I lived like that for a long time, chasing that next best thing so I could just then be, right? You can live that life without a giant savings account. You can live that life without having to make all that money or put it away, or you can just be in life, you know, and just go, you really can. You can question all of that, man. I mean, think for a second. I mean, if you're listening now, I mean, shit, we're in 120 something countries. I wish I spoke all those languages. That would be so fucking cool. But just close your eyes with me for a minute and think about that place that you wish you were right now. Wherever that's at, islands, the mountains, cabin home, skiing, downtown city, wherever it is, whatever that dream is. I mean, envision it so vividly. If you're driving, please don't do it. But think, why can't that be next week? Whatever that was, those questions, those responses of why it can't be next week, I want you to dive down into those reasons and see if you can find the fear in those. And when you can cultivate the fear out of those rationalizations of why that place that you just envisioned can't be next week, well, then you may just be there next week. I'll be here next week. I love the shit out of y'all. I feel like cutting it short, or not short or something, but I don't know. That was cool. I feel like I like shared a moment with y'all out there, whether that's energy you could feel or coming through or whatnot. It was kind of cool. But you could be there, you know? You really could. I'll be here every week like usual. Let's see. Bring you up to date on a couple things with the podcast. Brad Burge was going to come on tonight at 6 p.m. And he couldn't. He had to reschedule. And he is going to come on the same week of Dr. Carl Hart. Dr. Carl Hart will be on Tuesday, August 30th. I think that's at 2 p.m. And I think I'm going to have Brad Burge on that same week. They were talking about maybe doing, well, Brad was talking about maybe doing it together. I'd have to talk to Dr. Carl Hart about that. But he'll be coming up. I'm trying to, Lee Camp and I have been exchanging a few emails, trying to find the right time. He's very busy with his two shows. But he may be on next week, Monday or Tuesday. Danny Page will be on August 11th. And let's see, we have a new segment starting next week called The State of Education, as you've all been watching with Naudi and the Myths of Fitness, along with The Myths of Motivation with Dr. Bobby Hoffman. So Brad Burge is still coming on from MAPS. Look up MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Research. Psychedelic studies, sorry. But I'm a huge fan of the psychedelic research, that side, those experiences, et cetera. So I have a lot of questions. If you have some too about any of the guests that are ever coming on to the Rampage, please email me those questions. I'll really try to do my best to get those up in the interview when I'm talking to them. But Gabor Mate is probably going to be on, I would say, the fourth week of September. We are working that out right now when Dr. Gabor Mate will be on. Let's see. Let me look over at the board real quick. Yeah, we got a bunch out there, man. I'm reaching out to Jamie Lee Curtis to tell her addiction story. Oliver Berkman, like I said, is also in September. Jason Silva, brother, I'm going to get you on this podcast, man. This dude traveling the world so much, it's hard to tie him down. But he's a friend of Stephen Kotler's, and Jason, I will have you on this podcast, brother. So there's also some people out there, too, that are listening or know somebody else that, I don't know, maybe you think should be on the podcast. Oh, I did want to let you guys know that on the Tribe of Change, probably once a month, I will be having a member of the Tribe of Change on the Cognitive Rampage podcast. Danny Page is a member of the Tribe of Change. Danny Page will be on August 11th. He's coming on, but I'm always watching the Tribe of Change. I'm always seeing who's posting, who's sharing, who's doing what. And I look to probably at least once a month, maybe bring someone on from the Tribe of Change onto the podcast as well, along with all these small segments, you know, that we're starting and starting to do more. So, but anyway, yeah, been a fun podcast. I think that's everything up to date. Oh, I will tell you a couple things, actually. I'll let you in that little peek at the back curtain of what's going down. Dr. Bobby Hoffman and I have said it a few times. We are co-authoring a book currently called Hacking Motivation. That book will be out in December of this year, and we're busting our ass to knock that book out. We'll be putting that out, like I said, in December, but you will see a release of the audio book of the Cognitive Rampage this year as well. On top of, I'm releasing the two audio books together. Actually, not Hacking Motivation, but I am releasing the audiobook of the Cognitive Rampage, and I'm releasing the audiobook of Chemical Incarceration, which was my manifesto about my experiences about the process of addiction treatment. So this year, you will see the audio version of Chemical Incarceration released at the same time with the audio version of the Cognitive Rampage. I think I may do like a buy one, get one kind of thing. If you buy the Cognitive Rampage audio, you get Chemical as well, or vice versa. And then the documentary of Chemical Incarceration, Addicted to the Process, it's on IMBD currently. That documentary will release sometime in March. We have a few film festivals we're putting it in currently and shopping it up, but that film will be out in March. And I'm working on also my third solo book, which is, no one knows the title actually right now. And I get weird even giving that title away. I probably won't. I won't give the title away. But it's something that's been deep in my heart. Something I've wanted to write about for a long time. But that book will be out in 2017. So we have the documentary, the two audiobooks. Oh, and coming out after Chemical Incarceration, the documentary of March 2017, I'm going to put out a revised version of the Cognitive Rampage, which will be edited, researched, and cited by three very well-known doctors in three different disciplines and three different fields, and we'll be revising that book. It needs a few edits, too, that we've caught, but that will be revised also coming out, and if my buddy Naughty is so inclined, I have asked Naughty to write or add in into the exercise section of the Cognitive Rampage and allow him to expand on his functional pattern notions within that. So that book will be out next year, a revised Cognitive Rampage with a couple people editing, adding, expanding, citing, adding more scientific backing studies, research, as well as adding a few other authors to the revision of that book. The documentary, Chemical Incarceration, 2017, March. December 1st, Hacking Motivation. We're aiming for December 1st. It may be around early December for sure, though. Hacking Motivation, me and Dr. Bobby Hoffman will be releasing that print book, Kindle book, and audio book, as well as sometime this year, you will see the release of the audio version of the Cognitive Rampage, along with the audio version of Chemical Incarceration. Yeah, that's all the things we're working on right now, as well as Dollar Mental Health Club. You may have seen it. It's posted. Dollar Mental Health Club is a long-term scale project that Steve and I have been working on through the Full Synergy Group. And we have rolled it out now at its most basic form, but it will be scaling over the next 2 years or so. That's the long game, if you will, Dollar Mental Health Club. But if you ever want to work one-on-one with myself, feel free. Set your appointment at Dollar Mental Health Club. Pick your time, and I'll end up calling you. It will be me. I'll call you, and we'll work a 15-minute workout, even if you just have questions for the book, from the book. As well as this month, I know it's a lot of shit, sorry. As well as this month, you will be seeing The Myths of Fitness with Naughty every week. The Myths of Motivation, that will shortly turn to Hacking Motivation, giving you a bunch of different hacks for motivation every week as well. You will see a new show that we're starting tomorrow, actually, called The State of Education. That will be a weekly show that we're doing. The State of Education will be with my friend and soul brother, Big Mike the Messenger, where we're literally talking about the state of education. We're going to have principals, teachers, all kinds of people in here in the studio talking about the state of education. And that'll be a weekly series we're doing, plus the podcast as usual. And I will be doing a weekly mental training video that I will be giving away for free that are mental training tactics. Things right out of my book, things from life, things out of psychology, all over the place. So that's Naughty. That's what it says. Naughty. That's Bobby Hoffman. That's the state of education, the mental training videos, and the podcast. That's five fucking shows or five episodes a week that we're going to be bringing to you out of the Cognitive Rampage here next couple weeks while doing all the other stuff, while writing the books, finishing the movies, and doing so much fucking more. To the interns that have sent in your resumes, we are reviewing those. What we're doing right now is deciphering out the roles and the responsibilities that we're expecting from the internship that we've offered. Again, the internship is for 3 months, going into a fourth month of a possible paid position, working with the Full Synergy Group, aka the Cognitive Rampage. We also have a marketing company that we do. We help people build brands, basically. But Anyway, a lot encompassed with that internship. So right now we're deciphering what the roles and exact responsibilities will be so we can shape up that timing. So for those of you that have sent in your resumes or requests to be a part of that internship, we are reviewing every one of those. And it may not just be one. I said we'd be selecting one. It may be more. Actually, we have found a way that possibly we could work in more than just one. So anyway, it's just one day a week. We ask for 3 months, not every day of your life for 3 months. That's crazy. You're talking 12 to 14 work days really to gain some serious experience. But anyway, it's 10:40 now. I have enjoyed talking kind of oddly to myself, but also you all listening. It's been fun. I love the shit out of all of you. I hope you're taking care of you. I hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Shout out to all the countries that are tuning in now. A lot. From Australia to the UK, the USA, from Germany to Brazil. I'm trying to remember all my top listeners. If I forgot your country, I apologize. But Hakuna Matata, motherfuckers. I just wanted to say that shit. Hey, man, I hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. And I will see you on, we'll be back live with Naudi on Wednesday. And I may have a podcast with Lee Camp this Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. We're working that out. So you may see Lee Camp, me and Lee Camp here at the beginning of the week, but Naudi every Wednesday. Love you all. Mean it.